on 99.3 KCMD and FM 106.7 KMED.
20 before 8. And whatever your feeling are, or is rather, on masks and the various shutdowns and this and that and the other, you have to admit that what is going on in the state of Oregon, like many other states here, with regard to the coronavirus reaction, the government reaction to the epidemic, I don't really want to call it a pandemic because even with all the death we've had, it's not close to what real pandemics have been in the past, but there has been a lot of economic damage and a lot of liberty stripping, which has gone with that. And I have people that are already talking about fighting back. I had a listener yesterday who was saying, you know, while they're doing this, I'm not paying for car, for car registration tags, is what she said. She says, yeah, she doesn't have a home that she owns, so I guess she has less to lose. But, you know, there's that kind of talk which is starting to bubble up. And there are also the legal battles that have been going on. Yesterday, we had a conversation with an Ohio attorney that's trying to help people there. And now I wanted to bring on the Oregon director now of the Freedom Foundation, freedomfoundation.com, Jason Dudash. How you doing this morning, Jason? Welcome back to the show.
Very good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
And by the way, we're all for freedom and for fighting for this here. And on freedomfoundation.com, you do accept donations. You're a nonprofit and you work this. And you actually help defend people and businesses from the predation of the state, essentially, in Oregon. Isn't that the case?
It is now. As you and your listeners both know, typically all we exist to do and what we love to do is fight government unions. But in this world that we find ourselves in now with this, as you said, COVID quasi pandemic, unfortunately, Governor Brown and others like her on the West Coast have used this as an opportunity to just expand the public sector and try to destroy private businesses. And unfortunately, nobody else is standing up for them. So we're happy to heed the call and represent several businesses in Oregon who are standing up and staying open despite the governor's orders.
Could you tell us about the Casey's restaurant family? I think it's what the Patsky family is involved with them. I was hoping to talk with them, too, but I guess they're not real comfortable dealing with the media yet. And I get that. I wouldn't be comfortable dealing
not
with
yet.
Me either.
Big, scary media, Bill, yeah. As you know. Yeah, the Patsky's down in Klamath Falls. They're your, you know, real American story. Their family fought and died in World War II. They've built this restaurant down there, Casey's, for generations. It's family owned. And they closed down for a time being when all this started, as many people did.
Sure.
We were still kind of figuring out what the heck was going on.
Yeah, we did not really know the extent of what was going on. And now we're talking about 10 months later now, in fact, almost a year later, and things haven't changed.
Exactly. And so it was when this last two-week freeze happened that the Patskys realized that we can't do this. If we shut down, we won't open back up. And they decided not to. And they've stayed open. And, you know, they're taking the common sense steps, which is what's important. You know, they're wearing masks. They're social distancing where they can. They put up plexiglass. They did everything the CDC has recommended for restaurants to do. But then when an overzealous governor like Brown says, no, that's not enough, and I'm sorry, we don't actually have the data to back up my plan saying all cases are coming from your restaurant, but you got to close down anyways, that's not a serious policy, and that's not something that they should follow, and that's not something that they are following. And so we're representing them. They've been fined by OSHA, and we're appealing that fine, and I fully expect that we're going to win.
So what is the tactic? Not that I want to dig too much into the legal weeds, because one of the challenges I think that we have, and I've noticed that a lot of attorneys and legal foundations work on this, is that they work on COVID-19. They call it COVID-19, and yet the actual infectious agent here, and not to go off into the weeds too much with you, Jason, the infectious agent is SARS-CoV-2, all right? That's the actual bug that is supposedly doing this. COVID-19 is a set of symptoms, really. And yet everything is being done on a set of symptoms, which also matches flu. And there's been no flu, as you've noticed here in the state of Oregon, or practically no flu. And yet there's been no isolation of SARS-CoV-2. You can't go get a sample of SARS-CoV-2 right now from, you know, in the lab. You can't do it. They haven't been able to isolate it. And yet we've done everything to destroy it. It's like, it's almost as if they have foisted a public policy on everything, over a guilty germ that they can't produce. Am I wrong about that? Where am I wrong? This is how I'm reading it right now.
Well, Bill, you know, I'm not a virologist, and I'm not going to pretend to be.
I'm not either. But I can read and I can comprehend, and I think and I would think that lawyers can too. And it's like, all right, where's the guilty criminal? You know, it's like you can't produce it, but yet everybody that has these symptoms and tests positive with an overblown PCR test is considered a case. You know, that's the case-demic that we're dealing with right now. So. How do you fight something like this, especially when you don't even have a police officer come to get you? You send a bureaucratic, unelected OSHA drone to do the work for you.
Exactly. No, I think you're completely right. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and what we're fighting is the virus of tyranny that's springing up. And I think that's far worse than whether it's the COVID-19 or the SARS-2 or whatever else little bug. We've got floating around. The effects of these shutdown orders from Brown and Inslee and Newsom and others are going to far outpace the death rate of COVID with the economic impact that's going to be following us for years. And what we've decided to do and what we as the citizenry have allowed to happen over the last 10 months is going to be one of the largest devastating things that I think this country has ever seen.
Well, I'll agree with you on that. What is the best method to fight it? You say you're appealing the OSHA fine, and I would like to know on what grounds are you going to appeal it? Because essentially, the way these bureaucratic operations work is that we don't care. Governor says this. This is what we do. That's sort of how they do it. It's like this shadow government within the government that is totally unaccountable to we the people. We just have to do what they say. You know, they say hop, and we say how high. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, we've paid some of the best attorneys, in my opinion, in the state to work on this, and they have several legal theories. One is equal protection challenge, that these laws, these mandates are not being applied equally, whether that's on a case-by-case basis or a sector-by-sector basis.
So you're speaking, in other words, that it's okay to go to the grocery store, it's okay to go to Walmart and to Home Depot and everybody else, all the big places, but you can't go to your local diner, right?
Exactly. And then another thing is that we're arguing that procedurally, the way that these executive orders were implemented is incorrect under Oregon statute. And I think that that's a very strong argument, too. So our attorneys are, again, very bright. I'm not one of them, but I'm happy to work with them.
Okay.
And I think they're really covering all the bases with this appeal. And I'm hoping it's really going to set a great precedent for other businesses that have had enough, because thankfully, finally, this long into it, we're kind of getting that groundswell of businesses that are saying, you know, I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. And they're going to open up and they're going to provide for their family, because Lord knows the governor's not going to.
Well, the governor is also doing the same thing. We have this economic carnage being visited upon landlords. And and then you have, I guess it's kind of a collapsing row of dominoes, so to speak. You have people that end up getting put out of work, and so then they can't pay their rent to the same extent. But then the governor then says, and I think there was also a federal moratorium too, says you can't throw out someone who's not paying rent. You know, so you can't do that. But the landlord then has to continue to pay the mortgage, right? So where does this end, do you think? Where do you think this ends?
I don't have an answer for you on that. You know, that is a completely separate issue, and it's a scary one, because what the governor is saying and what our legislature has said is contracts don't matter, that we can come in and we can decide that what you've agreed to as two private parties can be tossed out by one party just because you want to. You don't have to prove that you've lost income because of COVID. You can just not pay rent.
Well, since the governor has now said effectively that contracts don't matter with the rental eviction moratorium, can we say the same thing about an OSHA fine? Hey, listen, OSHA, I don't have a contract with you. And if we did, the contracts don't matter. Have a nice day.
Exactly. Or can you say the same thing about the PERS deficit? Like, there's no way, there's no place that actually ends. And that's a very scary can of worms to open.
All right. So the Patsky family, which of course owns Casey's Restaurant in Cave Falls, and they've been doing this for a while. And Mike was complaining, I saw a little quote from him, that we still have to pay taxes while the bureaucrats, they never miss a paycheck, and they don't have to worry about their jobs. And he's absolutely right about that. How are they holding up now that they are defying this lockdown in Cave Falls?
There has not been an empty table in that restaurant since they opened up, Bill. The community wants them open. They want to support them. And it's not just them. They want to support other businesses. You know, it's so much more than just going out for a meal. This is a sense of community. This is jobs for people in that community. Every morning when they open up, there's a line. And they stay busy throughout the day. The amount of support that they've had is really overwhelming.
Is there any evidence, Jason, that there is spread coming from that restaurant, from the people going in and out of that with contact tracing and such?
No, there's not. And I'll say not yet. There may be. And I mean, you know, there's inherent risk with anything we do. But so far, nobody in Klamath County and nobody from the state has been able to prove cases coming from Casey's or from restaurants in large. Last numbers that we saw from OSHA before these shutdowns, it was less than 1.5% of all cases in Oregon were from restaurants and gyms. And that's what the governor decided to close down. And get this, the biggest, single biggest spreader was state government, was employment department and other state buildings where cases are spreading. Let's shut those down. Let's put some of the burden back on the state instead of completely on the private sector.
Jason Dudash, once again, he's the Oregon director of the Freedom Foundation, freedomfoundation.com. They are accepting donations. They are a nonprofit, and they normally are working on government union issues here that they fight. But in this particular case, they have sort of repositioned themselves to help out business people that are finding themselves shut down. Are you able to help any more people at this point? Because I'll give you an example. I had an email from a listener the other day whose family owns some bars in Southern Oregon. And they ended up putting up the plexiglass and doing everything right. And they've been told to shut down. They can't do anything, right? Yeah, I know there's that to-go cocktail thing. Yeah, so what, right? And they're ready to just open. And they actually just want to keep OSHA out of the counties. I don't know if there's any legal way to accomplish something like that, given that all the counties are defined as agencies of the state first in their charter. So it's kind of a tough one. But people are getting desperate, I think, at this point, Jason. You can really hear it. And they're getting to the point where, okay, I'm going to die anyway. If I'm going to die, I might as well die going down fighting, I think, is what's going on.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, I'm sure you saw the governor's statement on the 31st, kind of ahead of this planned defiance. Her statement was nothing but a threat and calling these business owners and people who are desperate, who are in despair trying to figure out what the heck to do, calling them irresponsible. Bill, I'd like to see the governor come out of her governor's mansion to look at these people, to talk to them, to see the despair in their face and hear the desperation in their voices and call them irresponsible. It is disgusting. And she is so far removed from the reality of what it's like to be under these lockdown orders and have a business and not know whether or not you're going to be able to provide for your family.
And our challenge that I think we find here, Jason, is that there is about half the population, there is an ideological divide when it comes on this. And I have to tell you, those from the left-wing political persuasion, I have never seen a group that has been more absolutely consumed with pants-wetting hysteria over something like this. And I mean, I really can't. I just have never seen anything quite like it in my life. And I think that they've been almost programmed to a certain extent. I don't like putting it that way, but it's how it sort of comes off. And there is a lot of fear about this. And I would dare say that if you're that afraid of people reopening these restaurants and things like that, fine, don't go to them. That's okay. No one's going to force you. But they don't even want to allow people to experience anything and actually start living their life again. Because I guess we all have to be miserable or no one's miserable, right? It's either one or the other. That's it?
Exactly.
Okay. Jason, what's next here for the Freedom Foundation? What are you going to keep working on then?
Well, we're going to stay in this fight until it's over, I can promise you that. And I'd encourage your friends with bars in Southern Oregon and anybody else listening to contact our office, where you can find us on freedomfoundation.com. You can give us a call, and we'll do what we can. You know, I'd never thought that we'd be where we are, Bill. And we talked months ago when all this started. And I can tell you that I am upset and I'm tired of the fact that we're still having this conversation today.
Oh, I know, Jason. Hey, remember 2 weeks to flatten the curve? And no.
Yeah,
it has to be 12 months to flatten the economy. You know, that's the new plan, I suppose. And yet, you're still going to have the carnage left over. And there is an agenda behind this, and I really do think there is some evil intent. Some of it is well-meaning and I think overblown, but I also think there's a seamy underbelly to it that is actually evil in its intent, and it needs stopped. And I appreciate your work at Freedom Foundation. We'll have you back on, and hopefully you can we can talk in a few more weeks and you say, hey, we won! Okay? That's what I want to hear.
Yes, sir. That sounds great.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Dudash, Oregon, director at the Freedom Foundation, freedomfoundation.com. Please support them, and if you are looking to maybe need some help, might be able to help you. 756, this is KMED and KCMD.